Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Welcome in to Big 12 Football and Beyond. I am Chris Landry. Glad to be joining you here on this Wednesday. Hope you had a chance to catch the previous hour, the show that I am doing right before this show with Ryan Fowler of The Game in Tuscaloosa. As we talk Alabama football, we really appreciate you joining us wherever you're joining us. We hope you're finding us on twitch.tv/Chris Landry Football. If you're catching us on Periscope or on Facebook or YouTube, wherever, then hope you can join us on twitch.tv/Chris Landry Football, where we will provide you not only this show, we've got tomorrow at the same time, we're going to have Pac-12 football and beyond. And you hopefully know by now that on Monday's same time, ACC football and beyond, and Tuesdays at this time, Big Ten football and beyond. So we've got the 4 days, Monday through Thursday, covered at the 4 p.m. Central Time slot. And then right behind this show on Monday, ACC football in this time slot at 5 p.m. Central, we've got SEC football and beyond. So check that out. And today, after we get done here, we will bring you the Landry Football Podcast. We're going to talk about offensive line criteria. We're going to talk about does college football need a commissioner? What would that entail? And we've got some questions that we're going to get to for you over here. But this is Big 12 Football and Beyond, and we want to welcome you, and we want to get right to it with some news and notes of the day. And I want to start with quick reminder, other thing, after I get news and notes, we're going to do a breakdown today. We're going to do all four. It's going to be four schools a day for the next few weeks till we get into the season. We're going to have a detailed breakdown of Oklahoma, Texas, Iowa State, and TCU coming up. But as I said, we're going to get into the news and notes of the day, and want to talk a little bit about the conversation. It's been reported out there, Bob Bowlsby and the Pac-12 are discussing a potential merger, discussing scheduling issues. Look, let's call it what it is. Those of you that are following this show, the Big 12 show, love college football everywhere. We shoot you straight on all the shows. The Big 12 is, as a conference, is a sinking ship financially, politically. There's going to be no merger with the Pac-12. The Pac-12, to go into your tax laws, you got mergers and acquisitions, right? Would the Pac-12 be interested in acquiring some schools out of the Pac-12, the Big 12? Perhaps. Maybe not. That certainly is something that to be debated, and we'll see what level of interest in certain schools they may have, if at all. Would they want to go big and add a whole bunch of schools and have this mega conference with 20 teams in it and absorb them all? Huh? Don't think so. But I'm sure that you have to look at all options at this point if you're the Pac-12, and certainly if you're the Big 12. Let's call it what it is. They're in the middle of the ocean, and they need a life raft. They need a preserver. They need to find a way to get some support, find a new alliance. I've brought out something on different shows in the past, the SEC show that I do, the National College show, that it would make some sense if you were these other leagues, and other leagues I mean Big Ten, ACC, Pac-12, and certainly Big 12. Big 12 is in a different spot. Go Pac-12. It would behoove those other three to try to form some sort of scheduling alliance. For example, Big Ten, Pac-12, they've already got a built-in alliance going back to the Rose Bowl. Would make some sense if they got together with some sort of a scheduling agreement. Maybe they play, you know, a couple of games a year against opponents from the other conference. Makes some sense. But the Big 12 is in a different spot. I think they're trying to look to see if there's any way that they can combine. I'm sure they would love to have some sort of a merger. It would survive the league, but that's not really going to happen is the way I see it. I think the Big 12 is trying to figure out how they're going to survive. They're going to have to deal with the buyout with Texas and Oklahoma, because I expect Texas and Oklahoma to be playing in the SEC in 2022. But there's going to be, you know, financial repercussions and an agreement that's going to have to take place to make that happen. So we'll let that play out. A lot of things with the meeting with the new commissioner, George Klyakov from the Pac-12. I'm sure it's going to be very productive discussions. But I think scheduling is where we need to look. And I don't think people that are throwing out a merger, I don't see that happening. I don't get a sense of that at all. We will talk a little bit, not just as we do our conference shows, we'll also throw in a lot of recruiting information. And even if it's regionally and it's not in the Big 12, like, for example, Houston getting a big-time commitment I wanted to tell you about, if you haven't heard, Traylon Payne, a really good linebacker that can run. He's built like a safety, 6 feet, 200 pounds, and he's a really good player. I think he's underrated. He's from Converse, Texas, and I think he's a lot better player than maybe people have talked about in terms of a prospect. A reminder that if you want to get more detailed information about recruiting, be it in the Big 12 or anywhere else, you can check out LandryFootball.com. We've got detailed inside information on practices which are starting up around the country, recruiting information, as I mentioned, certainly all the film room analysis as the season begins on college, pro football, NFL preseason start on Thursday. So you're going to get a lot of that information. Take advantage of the football season offer over at LandryFootball.com. And again, another reminder that we are providing you conference podcasts. And you can get those right here at twitch.tv/ChrisLandryFootball. You can catch the SEC, and you can catch the podcast version. If you can't catch us live, you can catch this podcast version over at LandryFootball.com. So you can find out how to sign up for Landry Football's conference call there. For the SEC and the ACC show, we are joining with our great friends at Podcast Park in Atlanta. So check that out. Let's get right into it, as I want to start with a look of the schools, and I want to start with Oklahoma. Why not start right at the top with a program that has the most going for it right now and how they stack up nationally and certainly within the league? No other way to look at it than describe the first thing that comes to mind overall. It's a top 10 recruiting program, and it's top 5 transfer portal program. Of the elite programs, no one to this point has handled the transfer portal as well to plug in guys. This were, you know, what we call college football free agency. They have done it probably better than any of the elite programs. They were doing it with quarterbacks prior to the transfer portal being what it is. Oklahoma is in a Clemson-like dominance in their own conference. 6 straight conference titles. The defense is what separates Oklahoma from a national championship elite. The defensive coaching and the personnel is getting better as they're getting faster so they can blitz more effectively, enforce more turnovers. The defense finished in the top 15 in negative play rate last year, which is a real positive sign. The secondary was overall the defense, but large part due to the secondary, they were a top 20 defense versus explosive play attempts, which is saying an awful lot in that league. Because it's not like you're having that type of rate in the Big Ten West. Everybody's got their thing, right? The quarterback's outstanding. The running back room is deep despite some new faces there. So the offensive skill tends to bail them out versus their schedule. They can out-personnel you. But what the problem comes in the national playoff level, they've not been able to perform quite as good. They've not been able to just out-personnel you on offense because their defense just can't hold up. The offense is built on the counter tray, and everything stems from that. It's not overly complicated. The defense does a lot of stunts, does a lot of twists. I like their defensive ends. I like Winfrey. I think this is a really good team. I think it's a team that's a national playoff caliber team. I think it's a team that may be in better position to do some damage in the playoffs. And I think if they do that, it's going to be for a couple of things. Yeah, the defense is better. How do you help the defense get better? Well, one of the things you do is you run the football in the four-minute offense a little more effectively than they have done. Now, in order to play championship football, your offense has to complement the defense. And yes, if you're going to be an up-tempo offense, your defense has to take the ball away. They have to be aggressive. But, you know, the best defense is the defense that's on the sidelines. And so when you've got a lead, being able to run the football and being equally effective in the four-minute offense is really key. What do you think? What do you think about Oklahoma? What do you think about the rest of the Big 12? Join me in the chat room as I will certainly answer your questions in the mailbag towards the end of the show. Spencer Rattler, he had some rough patches during his freshman year. He had some, in the loss to Kansas State, the three interceptions. But boy, he had some good stretches. Over the final seven games, he had 15 touchdowns, two interceptions. He settled down, started to see the field better. He's put on some weight. They've done a really good job around him. I think Kennedy Brooks is an outstanding back. He opted out a year ago, considered a jump to the NFL. He's coming back. Eric Gray is a very talented guy. And I think both of those guys are special type running backs that could really tend to bleed a game away for you with a lead. The receiving core is a lot of talent. They only need to identify the go-to guys. Marvin Mims and Theo Weiss are prominent guys for them. Drake Stoops is a good hands guy. Mike Woods is a Arkansas transfer that's got some potential. They've got two all Big 12 caliber tight ends in Hall and Stogner. They've got some sorting out to do on the offensive line, no question. Creed Humphrey's gone. Adrian Ealy's gone. But Tristan Lay is heading to Clemson. So we'll see. Tyrese Robinson, Marquise Hayes, Swenson, that's going to be key for them. They're well-coached. Wanya Morris is coming over from Tennessee. So this is going to be an interesting team to watch, no question about it on offense. If you look at the defense, they've steadily improved under Alex Grinch. And if you look at when he came over from Ohio State, what he's been able to do is gradually build a defense with more speed, as I mentioned, that could create more turnovers. And I think they've got some elite players. I really do. I think Isaiah Thomas, Perrion Renfrey, Nick Benito's really good. Those are all blue-grade players, the upper-level players in the country. I think they've got some red-grade guys in Redmond and Ogbonu at the Willbacker, Amoa at Mike Backer, and I think the corner Washington and the strong safety Turner are really, really good. So it's not just that they don't have talent. I think they're getting better and more talented on defense. And I think Woody Washington's got a chance to be really good. So depth is becoming a little bit of a strength. They want competition. They want to make that defense become a little bit of a factor. I think they're going to have to replace the nickel and effectively to do that. I think Nick Benito, aforementioned Nick Benito, is one of the better players in the Big 12 defensively. you're talking about a like a top 13 recruiting class last year. You've got nine top 100 level commitments coming in. Clayton Smith, the outside backer, is the best of the defensive guys. Caleb Williams may be the next quarterback coming over to Norman that might lead that team. So if Rattler continues to play well and they can help their defense out by running the football a little bit more with a lead, they've got a chance to develop and grow and maybe, just maybe, be a team that could do something once they get into the playoffs. You look at their schedule. I will say this. Don't sleep, folks, on Tulane week one. No. I'm not saying that Tulane is going to beat Oklahoma. On the contrary. But Tulane's got good defensive line. I think they're going to be worn down against this Oklahoma front. But I'm curious to see week one, how they play, how Rattler plays. I think they go through the schedule, Tulane, Western Carolina, Nebraska, I think West Virginia. Look, they don't sneeze against Kansas State. Don't take them for granted. Last year was a mistake fest as a problem. Texas, certainly, it's a big game in Dallas. I think they win those. I think TCU, we'll talk about them today as well. Kansas, certainly a win. Texas Tech, Baylor, Oklahoma State, a win, Bedlam. It comes down to the two games. It's to me, in terms of personnel, Texas can be challenging for what it is. I think TCU causes some problems defensively in how they match up against spread looks. And I think Iowa State is a challenge because Iowa State will play slow ball, and they will make you go the length of the field, and then they'll just eat clock offensively. I'm curious to see how Oklahoma's defense can get off the field against Iowa State. Look, I think it would be a disappointment for the Sooners if they don't go 12-0. I think they're a 12-0 type team. I think they're definitely a playoff type team. So that's kind of how I see it. We're going to move over to Texas and take a look at the Longhorns. New coach coming in, and Steve Sarkisian. Let me say this about the Texas program. First of all, the Texas team. I think this football team is better than the football program. What do I mean by that? I think there's some talent. We're going to get into where I think they match up pretty well talent-wise. Sark is going to be outstanding coaching this team. The question is, does he have the presence to keep the focus and attention to details on point? Look, Sark turned down a Washington program that was like 9-23 and was in the doldrums, and he built that up. And hopefully, his personal problems that hurt him at USC are gone. Because the University of Texas has even more distractions than you got in Trojan land. And yeah, working in the Trojan market with USC, that's an issue dealing with the USC alumni, but not like Texas. It's a different level. I think he's inheriting a top 20-25 team. Got an outstanding running back, one of the best offensive lines in the nation. Their defense, I like, especially Collins. I don't think they're as deep as they like. Offensively, they protected the football better than anybody in the Big 12 and top five nationally. And defensively, they led the Big 12 and was top nationally in limiting explosive plays. And is only second behind TCU in stopping plays behind the line of scrimmage in the Big 12. They've got, in Bijan Robinson, a guy that is as good a running back as there is in the country. He could be Sark's version of Najee Harris in this offense. On defense, he hired a guy that I have known for years and have a lot of respect for in Pete Kawakowski to run the defense. Pete turned down his alma mater, Boise State, when that job came open when Brian Harsin left to Boise to go to Auburn. He had a chance for the head coaching job. And he's good friends with Jimmy Lake at Washington. And he was comfortable there. But to come to Texas now to basically be the head coach of the defense when Sark's running the offense gives them a really, really good opportunity to do some things special. I think the people that's trying to put the nail, oh, it's, they haven't been this. Yeah, you go back and look at it. No, they talk a big game about how great they are, and they're not great. They're good. They're top 25, good. That's not great. That's not elite. That puts you somewhere in the middle of the pack of the SEC. I get that. They are. That's accurate. 100%. But let's not make this out that this team is awful. And they're really, no, they haven't been good for a stretch. There's a reason for that. This program is not in dire straits talent-wise. I think the quarterback situation and who he picks is going to be pivotal. I mean, the only guy he's seen in game action is Casey Thompson. I don't think he's an ideal fit. And if that's not, the quarterback doesn't work right early, it won't be as good this year. Because I thought the quarterback play really helped them a lot. They're going to rely on Robinson in the running game a lot. They've got some experience at receiver with Joshua Moore and Jordan Whittington. But the guy to remember is Troy Amiri, who is a big 6'3", 230-pound guy that no one remembers because he tore his ACL in fall camp last year. They're going to miss Sam Cosmi, but they got four of the starters coming back. They lose Joseph Bosasi on the defensive side, but Alfred Collins is really good. He's really special, and I thought Collins was dominant in the bowl game win over Colorado. Keandre Colburn, Devondre Sweat, the ends, Jones, and Ojomo, I never pronounce his name right, are people that I think can help. I think Ray Thornton, an LSU transfer, and Ovi Ogumofu of Notre Dame are kind of guys that can come in and help provide some depth. You know, in a saucy spot. Juwan Mitchell was a team-leading tackler. He entered the transfer portal. Now, you're going to see some young players emerge, and they're going to need them. Jalen Ford, Jaden Hullaby. They've got a lot of returning guys in the secondary. Cameron Dicker is a really good kicker. So I think this team has a chance to be competitive. I think they have a chance to be better than people think. If you look at the incoming recruiting class, thought it was pretty good to get to 15th nationally. I mean, put that in perspective. You know, they recruited on the same plane as Oklahoma last year. And with another year, and I think it's off to an even better start for next year's class, Jatavion Sanders can help early. Ibrahim, the corner, can help early. Those are some impressive guys. So we'll see. Detailed breakdowns of Texas, Oklahoma, all these teams around the country. You can get it at LandryFootball.com. You get the depth chart. You get position-by-position breakdown, unit-by-unit breakdown, each side of the ball. That's going to give you the best idea of how things are going. So make sure that you check that out. Looking at this Texas team, people are sounding some alarm signal week one against Louisiana Lafayette. I'm with them. Better play well. Remember what ULL did against Iowa State early last year. This is a good Louisiana Lafayette team with a very good offensive line. Their offensive line is top five in the country, not group of five. Excuse me, top 25 in the country. Misspoke there. Apologize. Erase that. Don't come at me on that. Top 25 offensive line. I think top 15 nationally, Louisiana Lafayette. So, be ready. Arkansas on the road. You know what? I don't think they're going to be 0-2. I think they might end up winning both of those games. But boy, we're going to learn. It's not going to be like jump off and they're not getting Rice or somebody early to start. So get ready to go, Sark and the Horns. Like them against Rice and Texas Tech. TCU on the road. Kind of think I like the Horns at this point. Horned Frogs at this point. Sorry, boy, I am thinking Horned Frogs all along, and I just mentioned the Horns. I think TCU's got a really good – I don't like them against Oklahoma. I like them against Oklahoma State, but that's not a given. That Baylor's not a picnic, but I think, you know, that's winnable, probably winnable. I don't like them against Iowa State. Certainly love them against Kansas. I think they win at West Virginia, and I think they take care of business against Kansas State. Could this team go 9-3? Is that too much? 8-4? I think that's kind of where they are. 8-4-ish. I do. We'll see. We'll see how it plays out. I think long game. But does anybody get to the long game at Texas? Well, it comes down to trying to figure out where you are, how to get control over the distractions, the discipline. And discipline, I don't mean bad guys. I mean, you know, dealing with issues that come up with the team in preventing the distraction from taking over. So, got any thoughts on Texas, Oklahoma, the two teams we've broken down thus far, or anything else, Big 12, or anything else outside the Big 12, just join us in the chat room and I will break it down for you. Next up, we're going to take a look at Iowa State and that really impressive program that Matt Campbell has. I'll tell you, it's the best coach team in the Big 12. It's the team that has the best identity. They know who they are. They know who they aren't. Defensively, they want to keep everything inside and in front of you. You don't see a whole lot of blitzes or exotic pressures with them. They want to make you drive the field, not give up the big plays. They try to get you to make one mistake on a long drive and capitalize. Offensively, they're patient. They try to work your defense with big sets, lots of tight ends to create even bigger blocking angles and spacing. They try to work you with those two tight end sets. They go unbalanced a lot, quite a bit. So, in essence, what they are is they're the anti-Big 12 team. They're the anti-Big 12 offense. And the Big 12 teams are not used to seeing this anymore in a spread league. So the Big 12 defenses are small because they react towards the speed. So Iowa State says, we're going to take your small bodies, and we're going to run up against it, and we're going to create our identity that we can't recruit and match you with the speed and the playmakers, so we're going to do the opposite and run it at you against your small defense, and we're going to keep your offense off the field, and that's how they do it. Now, they've got some talent. And I was looking at how I graded these guys. Breece Hall, a running back, is one of the best running backs you're going to find in the country. Charlie Kohler, tight end. Colin Newell, the center. Mike Rose, the inside backer. Greg Eisworth at strong safety. Those are five blue grade players at Iowa State. They didn't come there as blue grades. They're developed as that. One of the reasons Matt Campbell is such a really good head coaching candidate is because of his style. It's about being physical. It's about winning games in the fourth quarter with discipline, with conditioning, and intelligence. Win three-point games in the fourth quarter. That's the NFL. That's what you got to do. He does that. He's probably going to, I think that's where his next stop is. We'll see. Timing and situations and openings. Look, their moniker is five-star culture, not five-star players, which is what? Toughness, discipline. They want to keep their defense off the field. Now, I've mentioned that many times. The best defense is the one that's off the field. You keep them off the field. You're running the football on offense. And they're built that way. So, they've got to be able to transform their offensive line, you know, over the years, and they've done that. It's one of the best offensive lines in the country from a non-traditional power in the P5 league. They developed an offense, and it's one of the worst when they inherit it. They're really, really good. It's the best developmental program in the nation right now. It's better than Kentucky. You know, it's better than Iowa or Wisconsin. It's only been about, 3 years straight. It's the best developmental program in the country. Don't like their depth. Don't think they have enough skill, speed, playmakers. And I thought they had one of the worst coverage units in college football last year. Bottom 15. They gave up, I think it was 9 kicks of 30 yards or more. Can't happen. Not what you need for as well coached as they are. That's not them. That shouldn't be them. That's not what you would expect of them. If you take a look a little bit more at Iowa State, they returned 19 to 22 starters. They won last year's Fiesta Bowl. It's year 6. They know how they're going to do it. And, Purdy is a good quarterback. The tight end position playing both guys, Chase Allen and Charlie Kohler. It's a big part of their two tight end sets. Good running back, good offensive line, two tight ends, good quarterback. They've got a handful of proven veteran receivers, not a bunch of playmakers. Move the chains, catch the football, guys. Offensive line, as I mentioned, took a major step forward in 2020. Without arguably its best player, Trevor Downing, who suffered an injury in the season opening loss to Louisiana Lafayette. With Colin Newell, Schweiger, Simmons, Foster, they got 7 offensive linemen returning with over 90 starts. It's a really good group. They play with a lot of pride, a lot of effort, good technique. Iowa State scored 30 points or more in 7 of 9 regular season Big 12 games last year. Could be even better this year. So what they do is they're super efficient in scoring. While they're not explosive with big plays, they're really efficient in what they do. Defensively, since 2017, under John Heacock, they have been one of the best developed and coached defenses. People talk about they don't play any defense in the Big 12. They play it at Iowa State, and they play it at TCU, and we're going to get to them next. But down the stretch, Iowa State only gave up 16 second-half points combined in their final 5 games. And it starts with their 3-man front. They do a good job playing 2-gap situation. Despite the departure of Jaquan Bailey, the school's all-time leaving tackler, by the way, they're going to be stout again. Uzuwuke is back. He's a senior. Will McDonald is the most explosive player, Big 12-type player. Mike Rose, remember the name, Mike Rose, linebacker. You could put him on the Butkus Award list, finalists already. He's one of the best linebackers in the country. He led all linebackers with 5 interceptions last year. He's outstanding. Orion Vance and Jake Hummel are other good ones. Anthony Johnson, Tavion Kyle have the corner position in pretty good shape. I think it's probably the deepest that they've had corners. Eisworth is really good at strong safety. He's a first-team Big 12 guy. They're going to get their senior kicker back. It's just a really good team, a really good program. Again, just to give you an idea where they rank, they're recruiting ranked this year 10 out of 10, 68th nationally. They do it. They develop them. They develop them really well. What does this mean for a type of team that they are? What can their record be? Start out in Northern Iowa. Now, the Cy-Hawk Trophy is always a challenge. They'll still obviously beat Northern Iowa. Then they've got Iowa, and that certainly can be a challenge. They'll win at UNLV. At Baylor is no joke, but I think they win that. They beat Kansas. I think they start off 5-0 going into the bye week. That's where I see them. Then you got Texas November 6th at home. I got it as a question mark game, but I think they win. I think they win at Texas Tech. And I think that you know, the downside is 9-3. The upside is 11-1. I don't think they beat Oklahoma on the road. I don't. I don't think they're good enough to compete, and I respect them. I think they can hang in there. I think that's a loss. But the variable of 9-3 or 11-1 is the Texas game and the TCU game. And we're going to get into TCU in a second. But TCU is a really good team and may have a little more playmakers. But the game's at home. That's to me, probably the most interesting. I mean, Oklahoma, certainly, if they're unbeaten and Oklahoma's unbeaten, well, I'm not going to tell you that that's not the biggest one of the biggest games of the year. It is, and probably for the Big 12. But and if TCU is not playing as well, then it will be less of a game. But I'm going to tell you that TCU game, matchup-wise, is going to be quite interesting. So this Iowa State team is really good, and it's going to be a fun one to watch as I kind of take a look again at their schedule. Yeah, it's kind of how I see it. So that's a look at Iowa State. And finally, we're going to get to TCU. And what I think is a very underrated team and an underrated program. I think Gary Patterson's done a phenomenal job. In fact, until Matt Campbell's Iowa State run, this was the best developmental program in the Big 12. They have elevated their recruiting facilities. It's a great school. It's a great nursing school, so you can recruit a lot using the co-eds. It's really, really good. They've elevated their recruiting and they're to go up with their developmental and coaching skills. The problem for them is they just lack traditionally the offensive skill and speed to win big. This is the best tackling team in the Big 12. It's the best schemed defense that I see schematically versus the RPO game. It's a pattern match, 4-2-5, that changes its coverage on the fly versus the RPO. It's the defensive RPO. They match patterns in an area, not to specific players. They play fast. They are flying to the football, despite the fact that they're communicating a lot. They probably communicate and play fast, that combination, as good as anybody. The variable of them being a good team that can cause you problems or a really good team comes with whenever they have a playmaker, a quarterback. And I think they have one this year. I think Max Duggan is really good. But that's the variable there. And it also is their wide receiver playmaking ability. And it's the best wide receiver room they've had probably in 6 to 8 years. Defensive line room's pretty good, too. The defense gave up too many explosive plays last year. That didn't look like them. Really didn't. But and they forced a lot of negative plays with the defense. So they had tackle for losses where they were as good as any. And they forced the most third and longs due to really forcing a lot of negative plays on first and second down. So they were a little bit spotty on the defensive side last year. A little bit more into them. They were out of sync, I thought, a lot of last year. They weren't playing real well, but they do a really good job in game, in season, adjusting to who they are. Max Duggan is entering his third year, unquestioned starter. Doesn't have to win the job. He's really good. You know, he's someone as a freshman that played some. People were critical. He's a freshman. He can run. He can throw it. He's a good leader. It's a good signal caller. Darwin Barlow, Zach Evans, Keandre Miller, good runners. Amari DeMercado, lots of good guys. Now, Ty Barber, Darius Davis, going to be really good downfield. They're really good vertically. I think they can be a little bit better there vertically than they've been. Quentin Johnson's outstanding. So we'll see how this plays out. If you look at their defense, their front seven is a very active group. It only generated 5 sacks in their first 4 games last year. Mathis really played well against Texas Tech, and they started to get it going a little bit. I think that Garrett Wallow and Trevor Moehrig and Adarius Washington, those were the best safeties, and they're going to miss that group on the back end. But they got a boost when Corey Bethley, the defensive tackle, came back. The secondary, they got a transfer, T.J. Carter, over from Memphis, who really is good. He played the ball very well. And Tre'Davious Hodges, Tomlinson, is also very good. So this is a program that, if you go from a Mountain West program and what they've been able to build to a very consistent, well-coached, developmental program at TCU, and what a job that they've done, very, very impressed. Recruiting-wise, they recruit kind of like in the middle of the pack of the Big 12 currently, you know, five or six. And, you know, they got like three top 300 commitments. The Chris Murray kid, the one-time LSU verbal Landon Watson, the defensive end's really good, Sam Jackson, and Amante Watkins on the offensive side. So it's a good – they do a nice job. The recruiting, if they're going to compete at the top, and, of course, the top meaning with Oklahoma and Texas, which are going to be no more, that was the difference. And depending on how this conference shakes out, we'll see how they stack up. But if you look at them, they start off with obviously a walk with Duquesne. Cal will challenge him on defense, but they'll win by a week early, a little too early, but it is what it is. SMU win the Texas game. I think they win that, but that's certainly a question mark game. I think they beat Texas Tech. I think they lose to Oklahoma. I think they've got a great chance to beat West Virginia, Kansas State, Baylor. I think they've got a good chance against Oklahoma State, but it is on the road, and it would be a question mark game, obviously, win against Kansas. Now, Iowa State on the road, we talked about it. I think they'll challenge Iowa State. I would favor Iowa State in Ames. So I'm looking at 9-3, maybe 8-4, outside shot 10-2, but I think 9-3 is a potential sweet spot for TCU. It's kind of how I see it. Hey, listen, I appreciate you joining us. I know, sorry, none of you were able to get into the chat room or were interested in the chat room. I get it. We are certainly not doing it as an experiment. I want to cover college football on a national level, and I want to do it in a way that can get everybody, you know, totally invested. And we can cover everybody. One of the reasons why I'm doing the shows and I'm doing all the conference shows on Twitch TV is because even though it may not be the most popular conference, in order to do a good college football show nationally, I want to cover the big things. I can't cover every team and go into detail. This is what we're going to do here. We're going to break down as we get into the season. We're going to break down the games, all the games. We can get to all the games and cover all your teams in depth in this league on this show. And we'll do the same for the ACC and the Big Ten and the Pac-12. And you know we do it for the SEC. We do it for the NFL. It's what we're here for. It's what I want to do. It's what I want to provide for you, the listeners. You know, long range, I don't know. If there's not much interest and people don't want it, then there's no reason to do it and flood your, you know, inboxes with a show that you're not interested in. And certainly looking at sponsorship and everything for all of these shows is what we want to do. So it's really going to be up to you guys is whether you want a Big 12 show, a Pac-12 show, which we're going to do tomorrow. But certainly we're going to provide that for you. So that's a look at that. We're going to get to four more teams next week, same time, same channel, on Big 12 football and beyond. I want to remind you that you can get all of these shows live on twitch.tv/ChrisLandryFootball. If you want to catch the shows on the podcast channel, if you want to catch the ACC, you want to catch the SEC, you want to catch the national show, you go to Landry Football Podcast Channel. Sign up for that. If you want to catch this show in a podcast form, go get it. Sign up for Landry Football's conference call. Go to LandryFootball.com. Click on it, and you'll find it and watch it. That'll get you what you want. On the Landry Football Podcast, we're going to talk a little more big picture, Today on top, we're going to talk whether there's a need for a college football commissioner. We're going to talk about offensive line criteria and talk about who are some of the best offensive linemen at each position, tackle, center guard, at the NFL level, at the college level, and draft prospects. So join us at the top of the hour for the Landry Football Podcast. And again, if you got any questions, you can join us in the chat room. So appreciate you joining us. Join us again next week, same time for the Big 12 football and beyond. See you at the top of the hour for Landry Football Podcast. And tomorrow, we'll see you for Pac-12 football and beyond at 4 p.m. Central. And then right after that, SEC football and beyond. So appreciate you joining us. Thank you so much. And we'll talk to you at the top of the hour.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.